Welcome to Radio Edu Talk, and I'm delighted to have on the show this evening Mikkel Storm, who's the Vice President of Product at Waterford Institute in Utah. Welcome to Radio Edu Talk.
Thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be on with you, and I look forward to speaking with you today.
Fantastic, and we'll be live on air for the next 25 minutes or so, and if you've got any questions or comments for Mikkel, then you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk, and we'll make sure that we pass your question or comments on to Mikkel during the live show, or indeed if you're listening to the podcast. So to start off with, could you give us a kind of brief background to your career in industry and in education?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for asking. So my background actually is not directly in education, rather it is in technology. And I decided to join the Waterford Institute primarily because I thought it was a great opportunity to really make a difference and to have a great impact. In the past, I had been with technology companies that delivered solutions for cities and local governments and directly to consumers and business to business. So this was quite a turn for me, and it's been an amazing project and very, very exciting, and it's exhilarating to be able to help children accelerate in their educational goals.
And can you say a bit about the Waterford Institute in terms of its origins and up to the present day, you know, what kind of projects and work is it involved in?
Yes. So the Waterford Institute was created 40 years ago this year, actually. So it's our 40th anniversary. And it was founded by Dusty Houston, who was a former headmaster in New York City at a private school there, and he had a number of ideas about what needed to happen in education and make it available to the kids that really needed it. And it was based on those principles that he started the Waterford Institute. And since then, we have been an active player in the education market and even internationally. And our goal has been to impact as many kids as possible and inspire a great start for them. And we're doing that in a number of different ways, whether it is classrooms throughout the U.S. and even Middle East and Africa and Asia. But we're also in the homes of families, also again here in the U.S. and in Southeast Asia. So we have a number of different avenues with which we benefit the kids and allow them to access the curriculum that we put together. And that's been our primary goal over these 40 years, and that continues to be our goal going forward.
So a major area of your work then, Mikkel, is on children who are not ready for school. Can you illustrate what we actually mean or have come to understand by that phrase, not yet ready for school?
Yes, there is a tremendous cost both to the individual children and also to the school systems associated with a child that enters school but not quite ready to learn. That child has to go through all sorts of remedial steps, and the cost of doing that is very, very high to the school systems, and the cost is high to that child as well. So we feel it's absolutely vital that we get those kids off to the best possible start. And what that translates into is that in the pre-kindergarten years, we introduce the kids to letters and numbers, to colors and other various aspects of education that then helps tee them off for a great start once they enter kindergarten. And likewise, once they're in kindergarten, we teach them further down the curriculum path and help get them to the point where they can read, which is really once they can read and reach sort of the third grade level here in the U.S. That's when they are then done with our program, and we have succeeded.
And some of our listeners might not be familiar with the particular technologies that you use, so it'd be interesting to hear about them, maybe within the context of the Upstart program. But first of all, Mikkel, could you explain to our listeners what you and your colleagues mean when you refer to the use of adaptive technologies?
Yes. So to us, adaptive technology is all about having technology that is very, very efficient in teaching the children exactly the concepts that they need to understand. And then once we have taught them that, it is about validating that they did, in fact, master that. So an example is that, you know, you may in a more traditional game that they would see on, say, an iPad or even on a more traditional computer, a game might be focused around edutainment and really teaching the kids some principles while they're having fun playing it. And while we'd like them to have fun as well, we're more focused on making sure that the time that they spend with the technology and the curriculum is optimized in such a way that it's not just about their entertainment, but it's also about their learning. We, to use a business term, right, we're looking for efficiency in the way that we teach them. And to me, a true adaptive technology is one that really, in the most efficient of ways, understands what the child needs to learn, and then it teaches them, and then it makes sure that it validates, essentially, that the child has mastered that that skill.
So tell us about the Upstart program, which I believe has been running in Utah for a number of years now and seems to have been, you know, recognised as being successful. I'm interested in how it works and the technologies and how you get the technology out to families, but also about the kind of day-to-day experience of learners who are using your software and hardware.
Yeah, you bet. That's a great question, and it's a big one. So let me sort of take you back a little bit and give you some background. Upstart is designed to provide a kindergarten readiness or a school readiness solution for primarily four-year-olds. The four-year-olds sign up for our program, and they can then start the year before they start school using the program. They get trained on how to use it. Their parents or their caretakers get trained on how to use the program. And then the children simply start using the program and move through this adaptive curriculum. And as they do that, there are coaches assigned to them that ensure that they're making the right progress. If they're not progressing the way we'd like to see them progress, they come up with strategies for moving them along in a better way. And that program essentially takes them all the way up to right before they start kindergarten. Because of the children not having internet connections in their homes, we actually give them internet connections in those homes. And even in the case of no power in the home, which I know sounds strange, but nonetheless, there are areas in very remote areas still in the U.S. where there are families that don't have power lines running to their homes. In those cases, we give them mobile solar panels that can power their laptop. So we really try to break down the barriers for technology adoption in those families and really make sure that everybody that has an interest in this program can get it regardless of what technology they have access to. So this is a program that got quite some attention, and the U.S. Department of Education at a federal level issued us a grant 2 years ago to reach even more kids, especially those in the rural areas, especially those that don't have computers, internet, or power in their homes. And we've had a very, very successful endeavor with that grant program, expanding to many more kids and seeing great success. So that's a sort of a highlight of where we are with Upstart.
And am I right in saying, Mikkel, that learners are actually, they have to apply and be selected for the programme? And what are they actually signing up to in terms of time commitment, you know, effort, progress, expectations?
Yeah, so that's a great question as well, because it really is where we feel like there is a big difference between success and less success. And that's the number of minutes that a child spends in the curriculum. So we know from our research that once the child reaches around 1,100 minutes of cumulative usage in the program, then we start measuring very significant gains compared to a control group. So for us, it's about putting a strategy together that allows the kids to reach those 1,100 minutes as quickly as possible and in a way that still allows them to live their normal lives. So we recommend 15 to 30 minutes a day for the children. And if they do that, then throughout the school year, they easily reach those numbers. And that's part of what the coaches really help facilitate, is they help encourage the kids to reach those numbers and help them through that process. That it's really the key to Upstart, is making sure that they reach those 1,100 minutes.
And I wonder about the role of caregivers and parents. You know, what if they? What's their kind of roles then in supporting the learning environment? And you know, also, what kind of support do you provide to them if they're possibly, you know, not very experienced with technology?
We do actually, part of the beauty, I think, in my mind about the Upstart program is the way that it blends technology with non-technological solutions. So we actually do go out into the local communities and do training for the parents so they understand what the program is about and how it will work. We also give them worksheets that they can use with the kids to help reinforce what the kids are learning. And then, of course, we have an online component that allows the parents to track how the kids are doing and how they're progressing through the curriculum. So we're trying to really reach the parents in a number of different ways so they can support the kids in the best possible way. I think that's really a differentiator for the Upstart program.
And you mentioned there about impressive results in terms of comparison to a control group. So was this independent research, or can you say a bit more about the sort of sample size and what the findings, what the conclusions were?
Yeah, so we started out the program with roughly 1,000 kids, and we're now up to over 7,000 kids annually. And as we've been able to get these generations of kids going through the program, we're now in the seventh year of the program, we've been able to get a really good sense for how the kids learn and what motivate them. So we're doing a number of different things. You know, one of the things that we've learned actually is that rather than mobile technology, having a fixed laptop or desktop that is in a designated place in the home, that actually facilitates learning for the kids. I know we're all getting excited about tablets and what an amazing interface it is, and we completely agree with that. But we've also found that having a dedicated computer that the child can focus on and go and interact with actually strengthens their learning and the efficiency with which they're consuming the content. But overall, we're seeing great results with the kids, and we're seeing particularly great results with the kids that come from socioeconomic environments that fall below the poverty level. So actually the kids that are most at risk are the kids that benefit the most. And for us, that's really, that's really, really exciting, because that's really what we'd like to do. We'd like to close what we call the achievement gap, and make sure that those kids catch up and are every bit as ready for kindergarten as the kids that have more means.
At this point, Michael, it'd be nice to hear your kind of thoughts and, I suppose, the wider efforts in the States and in other countries to, you know, bridge this achievement gap, or what we're referring to in Scotland as the attainment gap. So I appreciate it's a very big question, it's a very broad area, but based on your experience at Waterford and with the Upstart programme, etc., what kind of advice could you give to us in Scotland about trying to bridge our attainment gap, and what kind of wicked issues are you coming across that are maybe frustrating you in these efforts, for example, to assist those in maybe the lower socioeconomic groups?
Yeah, you know, I would have a number of recommendations to close the attainment gap, definitely. And I think first and foremost, and this may sound obvious, but you have to start somewhere. You have to get a program going and then, build on it, figure out what the strengths and weaknesses are and improve it. And if you do that, then I think you'll definitely have success over time. But a key factor here really is starting early with the kids. I think we have a tendency to shy away from educational content for kids at an early age. And of course, there are limits to how early you can go. But I will tell you, in the case of the Upstart program and starting at age four, we've seen remarkable success. And the kids are engaged and excited, and they're very, very capable of learning. So that's another one I think that's really, really important. And then the last one I would highlight is it's definitely more about the curriculum than it is about the technology. Making sure you have good, high-quality curriculum is very, very important. And technology evolves over time. And of course, there are many things that you can do to deliver the curriculum through technology. But that stuff has a tendency to sort itself out. Make sure you start early with great curriculum, and that will go a long way in eliminating the attainment gap.
And many people, I'm sure, in America as well, in Scotland, they have this kind of ongoing fear about technologies and kind of tensions about its relevance within education. And I know that the Waterford Institute, in their own literature, talk about one of their aims being to allay fears about, in particular, adaptive technology. So what kind of... not to do with, I suppose, your own work at the Institute, but generally in the States, can you illustrate some of the fears that still remain and broadly how your organisation is going about tackling these fears?
Yes. So first of all, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, we make sure that this is not multiple hours a day that we're asking for. We're talking less than half an hour a day. I think you have to make sure that you don't plant the kids for several hours and sort of pacify them with the technology. It has to be engaging content and with a limited amount of time. Now, another area that continues to be a concern with technology-delivered curriculum is that kids don't get the social and emotional learning aspect that is also so important, so vital at the young age. And there are just some things that computers can't do, right?
Now, we're just coming to the last couple of minutes of tonight's show. Apologies for some of the technical issues. I know the line is far from perfect. But just to finish up, Michael, just before you maybe give us some important web links, could you tell me how the kind of support that you continue to receive and the responses maybe internationally, and particularly kind of international interest in the Upstart programme, and also what kind of developments are in the pipeline in terms of adaptive technology in general, and in terms of how Waterford Institute are going to be using adaptive technologies in the future?
So we have some great projects overseas that we've seen great success from. Our most similar to Upstart program that we have internationally is schools using our software in the homes of the families. And that's something we're seeing in South Korea and in Hong Kong. Both of those areas have systems where kids will come in to to schools 1 or 2 days a week, and they'll have self-directed learning the rest of the days of the week. And that's where a solution like this is really effective, because it follows the kids wherever they are. They can use it in the center, but they can also use it in their home, and it knows exactly where they are in the learning sequence, and they can pick up where they left off. We're also having some fantastic success in programs in Africa, and we have a children's a girls' school in Nepal that is using our software with great success. And we were in Hong Kong and Senegal and a number of other places, and have seen great success with the kids getting exposed to this curriculum. I think the second part of your question was, what do we have in terms of technology going forward and adaptive learning, sort of the future of that? You know, for us, we really would like to focus as much as we can on the curriculum instead of the technology, and instead keep up with the technology in such a way that that really can be what helps us accelerate the access to the curriculum. So, you know, I can't deny, but of course, mobile platform part of our strategy going forward. We feel like mobile devices will help us reach the kids in the best possible way wherever they are, whether that's in the home or at a center, or even on the bus between the two. Learning can take place in so many different ways, and we feel like a mobile platform is something that will really help us achieve that. We already have an iPad app, and we continue to develop that and expand it. And of course, we're looking at Android as well, just really trying to reach as many kids as we possibly can on the devices that they're using.
Michael, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on Radio EduTalk this evening. I'm sure listeners will have found it very interesting hearing, possibly for the first time in depth, about adaptive technology. And I think it's really interesting about your focus on, you know, for example, a kind of PC within the home, and, you know, it's not necessarily all about mobile devices. And very interesting to hear you put the premium on the good quality curriculum content. Just before you leave us, could you give us maybe a couple of, you know, Twitter or web links for listeners who maybe want to find more information about your work, the work of Waterford, and maybe crucially the actual programs and software that might benefit their own learners?
Yes, I would definitely recommend that your listeners go to Waterford, waterford.org. That's our primary website, and there's access to Twitter links and Facebook pages and all of the social media formats that we offer as well. And I just want to say, David, thank you very much for this opportunity to be on your show. It's been a great pleasure, and it's been great to learn about what's going on in Scotland as well.
Okay. Thanks again, Michael, and best wishes for the future.